Hello, I'm James, and I've been a Seinfeld fan forever.
Hello, I'm Steve. Seinfeld passed me by, but my good time buddy assures me it's very much worth my time.
And together, we're watching the entire Seinfeld series and making our own commentary track in another Seinfeld podcast we call Hello, Newman. That's it, you get that out.
Yeah, I'm a bit, there's something kind of, you know, yeah, it's not in the nose and it's not in the throat.
Yeah.
And it won't go one way or the other.
Is it when you do that horrible noise to try and scratch? It's like an itch.
It's not Klingon.
Yeah. Is it like the itch that's in a sort of indeterminate part of your upper respiratory system?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you have to do all that kind of snorting and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it still doesn't move. And what you really want to do is get in there with, like, you know when you get an ice cream sundae and they have, like, the spoon with a really long handle? And one of those for the nose. And just kind of get it in there and you could just nudge it down.
You'd probably...
Or kind of pull it out. One or the other.
Have you considered a pipe cleaner?
A pipe cleaner. Do you know what? I've not thought about pipe cleaners since I watched Blue Peter when I was much, much younger than I am now.
Yeah, I was a Blue Peter kid as well. Oh, well. So, hello and welcome to episode 54 of Hello Newman, another podcast about Seinfeld. That's what we call it. And I'm glad you join us here today because we're about to watch an episode of Seinfeld. So it's quite convenient that you downloaded and pressed play at this very moment. It's a good job that my diction's so clear, isn't it, where I do a podcast.
It's smashing.
I was watching my daughter watch a Let's Play video. And I have to say, although, like, my class biases made me bristle a little at the guy's voice, it was very clear.
Well, that's good.
It was very clear. Very good diction. Very clearly pronounced words. And there's a lot to be said for that in a Let's Play video.
And you're comfortable having your daughter watching someone exercise good diction on the internet?
I am comfortable with that, Steve, as you say.
Good.
Okay, so today we're going to, as always, if you're a regular listener, you already know that we're watching this on Amazon Prime in the United Kingdom. But Seinfeld is available pretty much everywhere, isn't it? So everywhere that eyes are found.
Mm-hmm.
And today we are going to be watching Season 4, Episode 14, The Visa. The Visa, Steve. Steve, I've got the episode all queued up. So
yes.
Before I press play, I'm just going to say, do please feel free to rate and review us on iTunes. We'd be very grateful. But, you know, really, only do it if you're going to give us really good marks. Because people can listen to this for themselves and work out that really it'd be better if just Steve was doing it, really. Because that's where the insight comes from. So, and that's what... anyway.
I'm pulling a face.
You are pulling a face.
Yeah.
And I am inside, too.
Your inside face.
Yeah, I went off on a tangent, Steve, and I wasn't happy with it, but I thought, well, I'm hurtling down this cul-de-sac now. I might as well put my foot down.
Let's get to the main event.
Yeah. So I'm on all the zeros, and I'm going to press play... now, what are lawyers really? Well, they're people who've studied.
They're professionals, yeah.
Yeah, people who've studied for a long time. You know, and frankly, if a lawyer turned up in a red jacket and a dark mint green shirt and brown tie...
I would expect him to be on O.J. Simpson's defence team.
Absolutely. Or methamphetamine. Although I don't know if methamphetamine had been... invented in the early 90s.
You'd be the expert.
Yes, I would. Yeah, absolutely. My middle name is Heisenberg. and we get to see Bryan Cranston in Seinfeld eventually.
Oh, fantastic. I'll look forward to that.
Yes, I look forward to all of you. Many, many people are watching Seinfeld with us for the first time, I've no doubt.
Hey, monks. let's go and do a thing in monks.
Yeah. George is talking to a beautiful woman. I mean, I hate to objectify, but I mean, I think this lady is a beautiful lady.
Yes.
Yeah. and she thinks he's funny, Steve. He is, though. He is funny and cute when you first meet George, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. When he's not trying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, whip pan.
That is Odessa. My head hurts. That was... We zipped across Monks so quickly there. Meanwhile, elsewhere in Monks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's exciting. Oh, man, he's even got a number. What's going on? Such exciting things are happening today. We're in parts of Monks we're rarely in.
Hey, let's sit at this table with four waters already prepared.
Oh, lovely. There she is. Hilda Bassoon in the background there at the till. Hilda Bassoon, who's in pretty much all of the Seinfelds, yeah. Every Seinfeld now, until season 15.
She really holds the place together.
It becomes about her after season 9.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It's called Swassoon. Was that her surname? I don't remember.
Hello.
Oh, the man that Jerry saved by ruining his life. So here we are. Seinfeld is being self-referential again.
Yeah. Oh, very, very good man.
Very, very good man.
Not bad man. Good man.
Don't call it a callback, Steve. They've been here for years. So already the angst in that relationship. George has literally just met the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And the angst has started already, and Elaine is bored to hell. But I guess, you know, George is sitting there telling her exactly what's wrong with women and what they want. I can understand. Babu makes Jerry feel so good, doesn't he?
Yeah, they live in the same building now.
Well, so he's sorted him out. An apartment.
Yep.
He sorted him out a job.
That's good, isn't it?
It's like the missing Seinfeld episode, where all these good things happen to Babu.
It's almost like he was making reparations for what happened at the Dream Cafe.
For the war. What? Oh, yeah, okay. No.
That'll never happen.
Reparations. Dangerous. Reparations and race. Dangerous subject. Especially in all countries of the traditional West. So
yeah, baseball fantasy camp.
Yeah, it sounds amazing, doesn't it? Kramer's away for...
It's a very unique camp to go to.
For the week. Do you think they're...
It's the United States. There's going to be a thing for everything, right?
And because it's Seinfeld, I have to believe it's real. Because these things are so often couched in reality.
Mm.
But they're making plans. Jerry suggesting maybe a kind of pseudo double date. I love this dream sequence where George is wearing his zipped-up jacket.
Totally zipped up.
Like a little kid. And his lawyer lady is wetting herself laughing at Jerry Seinfeld's humorous stylings. Sports sure. References. So we've had a baseball camp. We've had defence... Football, maybe? American football?
Sure. Urban golf?
That's very popular, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is Zorb football a thing?
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. Probably is. Do you know, I had a jacket not dissimilar to that. It was black and orange.
Not just straight up orange.
Yeah. So they've gone to...
George is dressed up pretty nicely, hasn't he?
He is. They've gone to the posh restaurant that looks like every other restaurant they ever go to.
Yeah. He's inadvertently matched pretty much everything in that set.
Mm. What of the many moods of George do you think that is? Brown fog? Oh, what do you think? Why is the lady in the background dining alone, do you think? Stuck in the corner there behind these lip flappers. Feel quite bad for her.
I don't know, it depends. I mean, if she enjoys dining alone and the experience of watching other people and maybe listening to their conversations, she's in a prime spot.
True. I mean, I like my own company very much. I really like being alone. That's why you and I do this via an ISDN cable that links our two houses. And we've got a one-way camera. I can see Steve. He can't see me.
Mm. Continuing the slightly sartorial corner thing, the way that both George, Jerry, and Elaine are all dressed, quite similar. They've all got, you know, their collars. They've all got their jackets. They look kind of like a team almost.
The doll team.
Sure.
I'm really obsessed by that lady in the background now because she doesn't look happy, does she?
She also doesn't know whether she's using the cutlery right. She was just checking, very tentative with the knife.
She looked like she was just giving a look to the crew there to make sure, am I eating right?
Hmm?
Am I doing this right? This goes in my mouth, right? But I quite enjoyed watching her.
Holy callback, Batman.
Oh, it's Peng, who she knocked over. Cheryl Fong, the lawyer.
That's right.
The lawyer that's representing Peng. Who, you know, he's in Silicon Valley now, Peng.
Is he?
The successful television series, yeah.
Crikey.
He's doing all right for himself. He's worked, man. But he done off like old.
See, I've watched all of Silicon Valley and I need to connect those dots in my own time.
Is it Mr. Henry? Something like that. I've not watched Silicon Valley, but I know like that. Isn't it Kumail Nanjiani's in it?
Mm-hmm.
And
Stephen Tobolowsky was in it for a bit.
Tom Middleditch in it.
Frida Bassoon, I think.
Was daughter. Her daughter, wasn't it? Yeah. Thin Funnyman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trendio Hipstaro. So, he's the ethnic diverse casting.
It's great.
He's Hispanic. Sorry, so Cheryl's gone to make a call. Sorry. So there's an episode going on here, Steve.
There is, yeah.
She's gone to make
George
a call.
And George is absolutely obsessed by being the funniest person.
Mm-hmm.
Not being able to perhaps bask in the glow of him having good company around him, which would therefore make him...
Yeah.
An interesting person,
yeah.
Just by proxy, because he keeps good company. Instead, he wants to push that stuff down, so he can be the best. He can be number one.
The showman.
Hello, showman.
He can't help but be funny. Who's she talking to? The lady in the background's talking now.
She was talking to her salad.
Oh no.
She's breaking bread back there. This has become the most interesting thing now, seeing what she's up to.
She had to leave the table to phone her aunt for her birthday. It seems implausible. There we go. Morose Jerry.
Yeah, I like this.
Yeah. I mean, he goes full nihilist, doesn't he? It's brilliant.
He does, yeah. Mm. He channels his inner Rand.
Yeah. Oh, dear. No one should channel that. He'd be off later to a Rush concert.
Hmm.
And who can blame him? Love Rush. Well, do you know, I actually agree with him on that point. Happy birthday, no such thing. We were discussing before we put the mics up how much I hate my birthday. So she's finally delivered the mail.
Yeah.
That she was picking up for him whilst he was on the road.
Yeah, there are other things happening in this episode.
Yeah, which is, that's already been set up. I was flapping my lips. Sorry, Steve.
That's okay.
Sorry, listener.
Cheryl gets Ping to drop the case.
Mmm. Yeah.
Thump.
Quamer's home.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everyone's happy. Including Woo! The studio audience. Oh, there's some great sheepish acting going on there. I love sheepish Kramer. He punched Mickey Mantle, the Yankees great. I believe he was he a backstop or a hitter or a...
He played the left wing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Very famous.
Mm-hmm.
Very famous baseballist. I don't know Joe Pepitone so well.
No.
I know Joe DiMaggio. Yee!
Hey.
Yee!
Yeah, look at that.
He looks like he's got a pitch on him, doesn't he?
Mm, yeah. But I imagine he's got a heck of a wind-up.
Undoubtedly. Mm. Yeah, but unlike Charlie Brown, he fully stays upright when he does the pitch.
That's right.
Which is, I think that's key, isn't it? I think it's key. This is a really lovely written monologue, actually.
Yeah.
Michael Richards does have a... This isn't the first time he's done it. It certainly won't be the last time that he's telling you an absolutely enthralling story of something that you'd love to have seen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Seinfeld. You don't see that.
You don't?
No.
But what helps is that the characters themselves are good storytellers.
Absolutely. Voices off, Steve.
Voices off.
Sounds like Babu.
Very, very bad.
Very bad man. Another baseballist, I presume. So something's happened to Babu that isn't good.
Well, you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah. They took him away. Ah. Oh, expired visa. Oh, and Jerry had sorted out, like he says, the apartment and the job. Right. Jerry had done all that good work for him.
Help me.
To be fair, though, is this relationship of Babu and Jerry, is it what people would call codependent? I mean, Babu is absolutely beyond help, isn't he?
Mm.
Oh, dear. Do you know, he almost didn't flub that line.
Yeah.
Oh, Jerry's got the visa renewal that Babu Bart is being deported for. Oh, dear. It's almost like it's Jerry and Elaine's fault.
Almost.
Yeah. And Jerry felt so good. So we're into recrimination.
Yeah, let's start pointing the fingers at each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Who gets the shame cup? I was talking to a colleague earlier about something that had gone wrong, and I found myself saying to him, who gets to carry the cup of shame? And kind of couldn't believe those words were coming out of my mouth for the first time ever. I've never heard of that phrase.
No, but it sounds good.
Yeah, the cup of shame.
It sounds like a thing that people would say. That looks like a nice warm sweater.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. No, it's a good thick... Is that a cable knit?
I think that's what they call it, yes, in the business.
It's lovely. Not sure about that collar, though.
Yeah.
Do you know what that needs? A cape.
Every good sweater needs a cape.
True.
Like, one good turn deserves another.
That's true. Which is what I think Jerry's hoping will happen now with Cheryl Wong.
Fong! Here's what occurs to me while watching this scene, and it does play out later, is that Jerry is now in this morose, introspective personality kind of deal, basically to help George.
Yeah.
But he's become the kind of person that certain other people find fascinating.
He's become dark and mysterious.
Yeah, mysterious. Mm. Introspective, like he's got things going on.
Yeah, he's got feels that other normal men don't feel. There's a lot of people with hats on in Monks, I'm sorry. I can't help but notice there's at least two people wearing outdoor hats.
Outdoor hats, wearing them in. I think that was a thing in the early 90s, wasn't it?
I don't know.
People just like wearing hats all the time instead of just outdoors.
I wore a beanie because that was the sort of... An Adidas beanie, if I remember rightly. Three-strike crew, Steve. Three-strike crew.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Shots fired.
Yep.
Yeah. Just a little bit of chin music.
That's true. But, you know,
yeah.
She's a lawyer. She's confident in her abilities.
Yeah, well, she's very good, isn't she? Is that guy trying to feed Babu his dreadlocks? So Babu's in a drunk tank, I guess, is what that looks like.
It kind of looks like that, doesn't it?
Where it's just
in some generic cage.
Prior to processing.
Yes.
But yeah, there's a guy with a really little dread. Looks for all the world like he's trying to feed Babu those very long dreads at the beginning. They're very bad dreads. Very, very bad dreads. Broad London accent when you hear him talking in his normal. Well, he's a broad British accent when you hear him talking in his normal, normal voice.
So far, very, very good man. Happy, positive, supportive of Jerry in his life.
Jerry's still a very, very good man.
Yeah.
Very good man indeed. Bit Babby's brilliant with dogs.
I expect so.
Yeah, you're a very, very good dog. Oh, I see you've pooed on the floor. You're a very bad dog. Okay, so...
So we get to see this very quick change from bright to dark.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's gone from bad to bad now. He's going to kill him. Wow. Yeah, Babu is not stable, is he? I'm not sure this relationship is healthy. I think in some ways this might be for the best.
Yeah, I think so.
But he's got wheels in motion. He can reassure Babu that he's sorting everything out. Nothing can possibly go wrong.
Very attracted to Jerry.
Oh, bad things always happen when one of the characters is in a car with a woman, doesn't it?
Usually.
It's usually a sign of, like, pretty bad things are going to happen. Now, yeah, as we dark and disturbed, I think she feels she can fix him.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah. Fill that hole in his heart.
With law?
Polyfiller.
Polyfiller. Polyfiller.
Polyfiller, very good. Okay. Nobody's more sick than George.
Yeah.
Do you think she knows how true that is? Because
that's the thing. If she stuck around long enough to know George, she might just stick around to be with George.
Yeah, I mean, she likes sick men. Man.
Yep.
She's missed a good one.
Well, it's not her name.
Oh, dear.
His mum caught him jerking off.
Yeah, George is my spirit animal, Steve. Do you think he's got hickeys this week? He likes the weird collars, the polo necks.
Maybe.
Oh, dear. I don't know why, but I really adore this guy's performance.
Snapple?
Too fruity! It's too fruity, Steve! Snapple. Flashes overcoat there for George.
Quite a sedate jacket for him. Yeah. He's usually going for the warm, thick, very brightly coloured, outdoorsy kind of jacket.
What time of year do you think this is? I don't know. Oh, let's have a look, see if it's in here. Okay, so this is the end of January. This is aired.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that works, isn't it? 1993.
That's how it works. Yeah. Wait.
So it's all four of them standing around blaming each other. Yeah. Although Kramer's been off and apologised to Mickey, which is good.
Mm.
I'm getting drawn in now because I like this bit.
Into a horse.
Brilliant. Of course they threw him into a horse. Of course.
It's like the horse just happened to be.
It's Bing!
Bing, hey.
From TV Silicon Valley. Plays Mr. Henry. You know him. He's that character. Oh. Oh dear.
Big lies.
Cheryl's put it back on and it turns out. She's an amazing lawyer.
Yeah?
She's never lost a fight case. Oh, dear. So do you reckon if he won the...
Oh, that's a shame.
If if you won the case for Elaine, do you think that's what he... Oh, right now. Have you got... I don't suppose you've got the cast list to hand, have you?
I do not.
Because this guy he's talking to has the most tremendous name.
Really?
Yeah, something like Roy Backdoor.
No.
Yeah, it's something really weird.
That's the craziest name since Frank Patio.
Frank Patio, yeah. Yeah. Felicity Sidedoor.
Ian Lean To.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John Stairs. Yeah, I really should have brought my telephone with me to look up that. Do you know, it's very possible. I'm going to be going to the cast list in a second.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, because he had a marvellous name. But needless to say, Jerry is a bad man. A very, very bad man. I quite like the colour saturation in that final scene. It feels it took us
to a different place.
Yeah, there's sort of like I assume they use yellow gels over the lights, but it's a nicely thought out little scene actually in terms of its production value.
For what was effectively 30-40 seconds, a lot of effort went into making that convincing.
But it was the cap, wasn't it? It was Babu reverting to a feeling that Jerry's a very bad man. A very, very bad man. Yeah, a little uncomfortable with that final monologue, just in the context of modern American politics, because they've become quite protectionist, quite closed borders, haven't they?
Yeah.
And it feels like that's what Jerry's advocating there, really. So do you have any stills that
I do actually. Yeah, okay. There's just one to point out at 23:13. So if you can keep the timer
Jerry
up
Bednob.
For me, then we'll see it coming up shortly. Filling. Because it's the one after this at 23:13. Okay. It's like a sneaky drinking face. Look at those eyes.
I'm gonna do a sneaky drink.
You see that? Look at the eyes there. It's a bit sneaker looking. What anyway, one of the duller credit watches I've experienced in recent times.
So anyway, I blurted it out, but let me clarify. The actor's name, who plays Babu's friend at the end there, Jerry Bednob.
Really?
Jerry Bednob.
Jerry Bednob.
Jerry Bednob. Not to be confused with Gavin Broomsticks.
If only they formed a double act.
Yeah.
They would have been known as Broomsticks and Bednobs.
Well, Gavin and Jerry, I would have thought.
Gavin Jez.
Yeah, that's right, absolutely.
Yeah, the Giggle Crew.
Steve, tell me, that was the Visa. What do you think of the Visa?
I think I can tell what you think of the Visa.
Really?
Yeah, because you were talking about anything but the episode for large portions of that commentary.
It's not my favourite episode, Steve.
But I guess we'll get to that.
Yeah.
This for me is an episode that goes to show you cannot discount any detail that crops up in the Seinfeld universe. It continues on with something that has been very present in this fourth season, where we're mining our history.
Yeah.
And that has often been quite rewarding. I don't know whether it is in this case.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure to see a character like Babu Bhatt come back, because it was such a memorable turn in the cafe. But it presents an interesting problem, and one that perhaps Seinfeld as a show hasn't had to deal with yet. Perhaps the closest they've got to it so far until here has been with Crazy Joe.
Yes.
He's a guy that dips in and out, but I think his character is a bit more three-dimensional. Plus, there's the element of the performance added onto it, which means that there's like an unpredictable air to when Crazy Joe turns up.
Yeah.
Whereas with Babu Bhatt, I mean, what do you do to extend this character and give it life without reducing him to just delivering a catchphrase? And it feels very much like they squeezed in as much very, very good and very, very bad as they possibly could in one episode.
Yeah.
and I can see why they wanted to bring the character back, why they wanted to bring the actor back, because it was, you know, lightning in a bottle the first time.
Well, it was...
But they did not give that character the best material this time round, and it feels a bit like a wasted opportunity.
A little bit. Well, he was very... the character was very popular on the set. So I know amongst the leading quartet, that performance was often... They between takes, they would do the finger wag and the very bad man, and it became very legendary. So it's obviously... you would assume, Jerry being one of the two showrunners...
Sure.
That it was, you know, preordained that Babu was going to come back for a story this season.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of his popularity.
Mm.
But yeah, I think the overall execution of the episode falls a little short of the quality we used to.
Yeah.
It's still great. It's a Seinfeld episode and I love it. But it feels a bit disjointed.
I think possibly the most useful thing is that I get a feeling that might not be the last we see of him. I don't know, but he's at the end there. He swears revenge, and there is you can see at that point there is a potential that he could be an on and off foil.
Uh-huh.
But who knows?
Is it just a feeling or more than a feeling?
It's just a feeling.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so that's probably the kind of the biggest thing I can say about it. I think there are interesting and technically good things that are happening in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
We've got some fun with George's insecurities around being the best performer out of his group of friends. I mean, on one level, you've got the unintended consequences, which, you know, you're going to get in a sitcom.
Yeah.
You know, that's just how these things work. But the readiness of... And this is where, like, despite how mean they can be with each other, they're often actually very good friends with each other. Jerry goes along with it.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, right, he's effectively taking one for the team. He's helping his pal out.
Yeah.
And he basically is un-Jerry for a while.
Well, he's playing it for larks. I mean, let's not...
He's doing it for his own entertainment,
yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah, which is his key motivator in all things.
But, you know, at the same time, he's kind of gotten along with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I like that.
Mm.
We've got, a certain amount of callback and then just the threads throughout the episode as well, you know, and how they kind of all converge towards the end. So we've got the deal with, Jerry being away and his mail ends up connecting to Babu. We've got Kramer's trip. We've got the deal with the visa. We've got this lawsuit with Ping, which kind of comes up, and then that just happens to cross over in what Cheryl and George is doing. So everything merges together very well. I think on that level,
mm-hmm.
it works quite well
yeah.
as an episode. From an episode like this, it's like, you know, you get those pangs of recognition. You're like, oh yeah, that's going back to this and that's going back to that. And again, it kind of, it rewards you being a regular viewer and paying attention. But it does, I mean, it's certainly on the belly laugh front, it does not stand up particularly well. And also it just feels like they wasted an opportunity with the return of what was quite a memorable character.
Yeah.
Could be again.
Who knows?
But just not here. No. Well, I guess we'll see.
Yeah. The Crane monologues are fun.
Yeah.
I like those. As just pieces of writing. I like them. There's stuff throughout it I like.
Mm.
It doesn't feel like it glues together very well. The strands don't intertwine in a satisfying way.
Sure, yeah.
At the end, they all feel, even though like Jerry, George, and Jerry, George, and Lane, their story is pretty much completely intertwined. It still feels a bit disconnected. It's very.
It's almost like
because you've got the Babu distraction, haven't you? But Jerry and Elaine, there doesn't feel like there's There's not a enough, story.
Yeah, there's not... honestly, there's probably not enough going on in any... I mean, no. you've basically collected a whole bunch of B stories together, haven't you?
Yeah.
When there isn't quite enough going on in any one of them, I think you could have had a more interesting episode if you dropped one of those things.
Yeah, very possibly.
And focused a bit more attention on pushing something to the forefront, whether that was with Babu, whether that was with the lawsuit, whether that was with George or, you know, whatever.
Well, I think what's weird about the Babu story is in previous Seinfelds, and certainly it's kind of established this season, that stuff gets established on screen. So I feel like Babu would have been introduced, should have really been reintroduced a couple of episodes ago. And then the payoff of the good stuff that Jerry did then would then pay off a little stronger here. There's an awful lot of exposition to get over with what's happened with Babu at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I think that loses credibility as far as the story is concerned. It all happens too quickly, so I'm not really reinvested in the character.
True, but I think we're talking in the sense of being perhaps spoiled by binge watching or spoiled by, and it's kind of ironic to say this considering we're going through a season which has an arc and is heavily self-referential.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's also the practicalities of, you probably only had that actor for a day or two.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like you would have been able to plan it, or you'd have been able to done something where you could have filmed a couple of scenes and dropped them into other episodes.
I imagine that's almost exactly
where
he only appears.
And there are plenty of other sitcoms where, you know, the entire story plays out in 20 minutes.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
So...
But I hold, because I love it, and because I think it's the greatest sitcom ever written, I hold every episode of Seinfeld.
Because the stuff with Susan has spoiled us. That has been a story that has ran over several episodes. It's a recurring character in this season. So when something works over multiple episodes and then you're doing something which is, you know, doesn't necessarily have the same impact, but in terms of the punch, maybe you want it to hit a bit harder.
Susan is such a perfect example.
Mm.
Such a perfect example. Excellent. More to say, have you?
I think I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done too. Can I just quickly, would you mind indulging me before we go? Because I was a bit meh. I mean, I love the episode because it's an episode of Seinfeld, but I was a bit meh.
Sure.
And I thought it might be interesting to once again go to our well, Steve. Come with me to the well, if you would.
Let's fill the bucket.
To the land of Dennis Bjorklund.
Mm-hmm.
And Seinfeld Secrets, an insider scoop about the show, available on Amazon. In entry 55, Dennis writes about the visa. Writer Larry Charles referred to Seinfeld's fourth season as its Sergeant Pepper year because the show went from I Love Lucy to Thomas Picon, from Al Hirt to John Coltrane. That's it. That's the entry for the visa. So maybe Dennis kind of feels the same about that particular episode, maybe, as I. It's brilliant because it's a Seinfeld episode, but it's not my number one exemplar of the form.
I think, we've still got a few episodes to go, but I think when we get to the season review, this might be one of the first episodes we talk about.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Okay, thank you, Steve.
No problem.
Thank you, me. And thank you, listener, for listening. Please do feel free to listen again in the future. We'd be most delighted. If you would, until then, goodbye.
See you.